Well, another gorgeous day we have today. A day filled with Adonai's blessings. A day filled with an opportunity to worship him in communion. What a blessing that is for all of us. By now, most of us have heard the story of Amalek and his people, the Amalekites. However, in case these names are new to you, let's do a quick review. Amalek, the king of a nation which came against Israel in the wilderness during their trek to the Holy Land, was the grandson of Esau. He and his people were always at war with the Israelites. They rose against Israel and Judah during the reign of King Shaul. It was during this war the prophet Samuel warned Shaul he needed to kill every Amalekite who existed. Shaul took pity on their king. His name was Agag. And for this, God declared his reign finished. Sparing Agag had some serious ramifications years later. It was during the Assyrian exile, when the Jewish diaspora were in Assyria, Haman, the last remaining Amalekite, plotted to kill all the Jews in the Assyrian Empire. The story of Esther focuses on this plot and its outcome. So what do the Amalekites, a long extinct race of barbarous idolaters, have to do with us today? Clearly, there is no physical connection. However, as believers in an unbelieving world, we are surrounded and deeply affected by the spirit of Amalek. First, there is the certainty of our fight. During our time, Amalek is a symbol of our fight, not with flesh, but with forces of darkness, the adversary, Satan. As I mentioned to you last Shabbat, Rav Shaul warns us in Ephesians 6, "For we are not struggling against human beings, but against the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers governing this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." Just as the ongoing war with the Amalekites lasted for many hundreds of years, our battle with darkness is constant. The battle may be found within our human nature, that part of us which is at war with the Spirit of the living God. In Galatians 5, Rav Shaul advises us, "For the old nature wants what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit wants what is contrary to the old nature. These oppose each other, so that you find yourselves unable to carry out your good intentions." In Romans 6, in his argument against those who believed the death and resurrection of Messiah Yeshua gave them license, Rav Shaul claimed, "We know that our old self was put to death on the execution stake with him, so that the entire body of our sinful propensities might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin." What a promise this is. Because of his sacrifice, his atoning death, and his salvific resurrection, we believers in the living God no longer need to fear the enslavement of sin. But this does not give us the freedom to continue sinning at will. By doing this, by not trusting Adonai Elohim, and by trampling on the Holy Spirit, we would be risking our salvation and providing a comfortable home for elements of spiritual darkness. Once again, we listen to Rav Shaul in Colossians 9. Because you have stripped away the old self with its ways and have put on the new self, which is constantly being renewed in fuller and fuller knowledge, closer and closer to the image of its creator. It is through this continual battle against our old nature, embracing the new man or the new woman, we grow closer to Adonai Elohim and take on more of the likeness of Adonai Yeshua. But this doesn't mean the battle will cease. This is far from the case. Kepha, the Apostle Peter, warned us we would be entering a battlefield when we were born again. Listen to his warning in 1 Peter 5. Stay sober, stay alert. Your enemy, the adversary, stalks about like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Unfortunately, many believers still cling to mythologies about the enemy and his minions. Perhaps some of you listening to this message today harbor these myths in your own thinking. Let's examine three of them. A common myth centers on the existence of demons today. There is a false perception, perhaps among many evangelical Christians, stating that while demons existed during the time Adonai Yeshua walked the earth, with his resurrection, demonic activity ceased. If that were the case, then Rav Shaul would not have warned us in Ephesians 6 of the flaming arrows of the evil one, nor would he have shared in 2 Corinthians 10, we do not wage war in a worldly way. We demolish arguments and every arrogance that raises itself up against the knowledge of God. The enemies of Adonai Elohim and his word among us are very much active in the 21st century, as they were in the first. However, we have rationalized their activity as a physical, chemical phenomenon, rather than spiritual. And here lies a second myth. What was labeled in the first century as demonic influence and activity within our lives, we now perceive as mental illness. What we today call schizophrenia was once recognized as demonic influence. Do demons attempt to influence our thinking and our behavior directly? Beloved, yes, they do. And we ignore that reality at our peril. Practitioners in the world of psychology would have us believe there is no such thing as demonic influence, since the spiritual realm is a figment of man's imagination. However, the world of psychology focuses on symptoms and seldom deals directly with causes. When we address demonic influence and interference, we know the cause and seek its elimination, thereby removing the symptoms. Another myth concerning demonic influence in believers entices believers into believing they are not subject to demonic activity because we have been protected by the shed blood of Adonai Yeshua, our Pesach Lamb. So much damage has been caused and continues to be caused by this myth. Each time we sin, we open ourselves up to the opportunity for ungodly influence. In Ephesians 4, Rav Shaul warns us, and you must let your spirits and minds keep being renewed. This is particularly important for believers, since the adversary is constantly attempting to draw us away from Adonai Elohim with subtlety. We will discuss his strategy shortly. Right now, it is imperative for us to realize believers are not immune from the attacks of the enemy. In Luke 4, we are introduced to a man under the control of a demon within a synagogue. Listen to the interchange. In the synagogue, there was a man who had an unclean demonic spirit who shouted in a loud voice, "Yah! What do you want with us, Yeshua from Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Remember that Satan and his minions know God. They tremble at his presence. They fear him, not in a reverential way, but in a fearful way. But Yeshua rebuked it. "Be quiet and come out of him." The demonic spirit threw the man down in the middle of the crowd and came out of him, having done him no harm. Although the enemy has been defeated, captured by Adonai Yeshua, he has not yet been destroyed. We know, however, his destruction is a certainty. Satan, though, still has the same degree of influence today as he did then. Those who are not believers are often held in bondage by unrepented sin and by the enemy's grasp on their thoughts. Unfortunately, believers open the door to Satan and his minions through their continuing sinful behavior. Sinfulness, which Hebrews 12 calls the sin which easily hampers our forward movement. And still another myth leads us to believe demonic influence occurs in cases of mortal sin or through violent behavior. This belief ignores the fact many believers influenced by demonic forces lead perfectly normal lives on the outside. Inside, though, many are struggling with serious personal and interpersonal issues. Rav Shaul tells us in 2 Corinthians 11, the adversary himself masquerades as an angel of light. So it's no great thing if his workers masquerade as servants of righteousness. Ordinary, peaceful believers from every denomination of belief in Adonai Yeshua are being severely influenced in subtle and often seemingly harmless ways by Satan and his minions. The fact psychiatrists, psychologists, and mental health care workers do not accept the existence of demonic forces does not change the reality of their existence. In Adonai Elohim's world, there is no separation between the spiritual and the secular. This is a man-made division. Now let's examine some of the subtle and not so subtle strategies used by 21st century Amalekites against believers and non-believers. Have you noticed how negative thoughts in the first, second, and third person have come into your head, popping in when you least expect them or wanted them? Have you ever wondered about their origin? These thoughts are the most often used strategy of the adversary. Thoughts such as, "You aren't good enough. I'll never be able to do that. Who do you think you are?" come directly from the enemy. But how are Satan and his minions able to enter our thoughts so easily? This is the nature of the relationship between the spiritual and the natural worlds. The point at which this invasion of our minds occurred was at the fall. In Genesis 3, Adonai Elohim curses the serpent for having tempted Chava and enticing her to obey him, or to disobey God. I will put animosity between you and the woman, and between your descendant and her descendant. I'm sure we have all been taught this curse dealt with Adonai Yeshua, who defeated death and the adversary almost 2,000 years ago. However, as with much of Scripture, there is another meaning, leading to an understanding of the struggle which would ensue between mankind and the demonic. Just as Chava and Adam were seduced into disobeying Yehovah, all future generations would be tempted in the same way. For the vast majority of people down through the millennia, the adversary would hold sway, but for a minority, people with the strength of Adonai in them, even before the Messiah walked the earth, they would resist Satan's seductive voice. For some of us who experience this onslaught, we believe we are going insane. I remember quite clearly, after reaffirming my love for and allegiance to Yehovah, I was attacked mercilessly by the enemy. The attack was so sharp, I sought out the help of a Christian psychologist. However, the real assistance came when I began studying mind-healing prayer while attending Tyndale Seminary, and realized what was attacking me was not from the natural world, but from the spiritual. Many of you here know Chantal suffers from migraines. When they first began to strike her, they were debilitating. She would be in bed for 3 days at a stretch. There was nothing the many doctors she sought out could do. There was no physical cure. There was no physical help. If she took pain medication to relieve the torment, she would only bring them back up. When did these attacks begin? Shortly after she accepted Adonai Yeshua as her Lord and Savior. Coincidence? We think not. In Matthew 16, shortly after Kepha has shown his faithfulness to Adonai Yeshua, he reacted strongly to the prophetic words spoken by him. Let's revisit that interaction. We begin in verse 21, when Adonai Yeshua had shown his Talmudim the fate he was to endure, that he had to be put to death. But on the third day, he had to be raised to life. At this, Kepha responded with, "Heaven be merciful, Lord, by no means will this happen to you." Remember Adonai Yeshua's response. "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle in my path, because your thinking is from a human perspective, not from God's perspective." Adonai Yeshua was well aware Kepha was being strongly influenced by Satan and rebuked him. Not long ago, as part of our Haftarah readings, we came upon the story of Yiftach, the reluctant judge of Israel who led a small army against the larger and better equipped forces of Ammon, found in Judges 11. However, not content to rely on Adonai Elohim's promise to strengthen him and his people, Yiftach made a rash vow to sacrifice as a burnt offering the first thing which came through the front door of his house. And we know the rest of the story. His daughter walked through the door, and Yiftach kept his vow, requiring his daughter to spend the rest of her days isolated from others serving at the tabernacle in Shiloh. Where did this vow originate? Although we are not told clearly, we may surmise it was from the adversary. Why? Because in verse 29 we are told, "Then the spirit of Adonai came upon Yiftach." What was the need for this vow? when Yiftach had already received Jehovah's strength and promise. It is highly probable Satan influenced this now godly inspired military leader to doubt Jehovah's strength within him. Beloved, we are all open to the influence of Satan and his minions. As long as we sin, we keep the door open for the Prince of Darkness to worm his way into our thoughts and influence our thinking. As long as we doubt, as long as we question God's promises, we leave the door open. As long as we keep inviting Satan to come into our lives through our negative thoughts, through our negative behaviors, we keep the door open for the Prince of Darkness to worm his way into our thoughts and influence our thinking. The evil one has the capacity to manipulate our thinking and to persuade us, subtly yet quite forcefully, to think and even act in certain ways, even to the point of leaving us with the lie that the thoughts we have are our own. I have seen this many times in clients I have walked beside over the past 8 years. In many situations, Satan has placed a lie in their subconscious minds, a result of a childhood trauma, a lie which repeatedly arose to convince them they were not good enough or not the right person, or even that God would not love them. They were so evil. Only when Satan's lie was discovered could they ask Jehovah to replace it with his truth and be free from Satan's grasp. I know there are many believers in the world who harbor these same lies within their subconscious minds, many of whom may be right now listening to this message. In the foreseeable future, we will be introduced to a number of approaches for removing Satan's lies from our minds and our hearts, freeing us from the torment which has been holding us captive, some for most of our lives. Until then, I urge you to draw closer to Jehovah, realizing he is our Savior. He is our rescuer. He is our healer. He is our counselor. He is the only one who may free us from Satan's grasp. Abba Father, I pray for our drawing closer to Jehovah through reading his word on a daily basis, through contemplative prayer, sitting quietly and still, listening to the word that you share with us, for quietly focusing our thoughts upon you. I ask you to give us strength to focus our thoughts on you and not allow the enemy to brush those thoughts aside and enter into our heart, into our conscious mind. Protect us through the shed blood of Moshiach Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus. I pray, Abba, that you give us the strength within our spirits to block the enemy's advances, that you keep us safe and protected throughout all our days. In your blessed name, B'Shem Yeshua, Amen.